Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching from Ephesians chapter 2 in the New Testament, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. I've been going through chapter 2, and I want to continue that. And today I'm going to talk about this subject, made nigh by the blood. Made nigh by the blood. And of course, that word nigh means near. And we're talking about being near to God and near to God's people in that passage. But the apostle had just explained how that salvation, all of salvation, is totally, completely, 100% by God's grace, unearned, undeserved, through the faith that God gives to his people from Christ, and it's all based upon the merits of the obedience unto death of Christ, his righteousness alone. That term righteousness is so important that we understand that salvation is based upon a righteousness established not by us, not by our law keeping, or not even by our efforts, and not even by our believing. A lot of people today believe that because we can't be perfect, God accepts our faith as a lesser qualification, but that's not true. You see, Christ came to keep the law perfectly. And the Bible says in Romans 10:4 that Christ is the end of the law, the fulfillment, the perfection of the law, finishing of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So our believing does not make us righteous. Christ did that for his people on the cross. And God imputed it to them all the way down through the ages. He charged it to us. And that's what the Bible is all about as far as the heart of the gospel. And so he says here that salvation is by grace. It's the work of God in Christ Jesus unto, not because of good works. And then he goes back in verse 11. Now listen to this. He says, wherefore, or for this reason, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Now he's talking to believing Gentiles here. You know, they're two classes there, believing Gentiles and believing Jews. And he says, being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh. This is how you were physically born. But now, aren't they still Gentiles? Physically they are. But spiritually they're something else. They're something else. Now, he says, being Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So he's saying what he's doing, he's recognizing that physically there was a distinction between the uncircumcised Gentiles and the circumcised Jews. Now, to get the background of what he's dealing with here, we have to understand that unbelieving Jews, unbelieving Israelites, nationally, okay? Unbelieving Israelites basically had three things that they boasted in as to proving that they were saved, that they had a right relationship with God, that they were God's children. The first thing that they would boast of is their physical connection to Abraham. Abraham, the friend of God. Abraham, the father of the faithful. And so they boasted in their physical connection to Abraham. Now, that was not the case, but that's what they believed against what the prophets told them in the Old Testament and against what the Lord himself told them in passages such as John chapter 8 when he was talking about Abraham. And he says that Abraham believed the gospel. Abraham looked forward to the day of the Messiah. He rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad, Christ said. So he told him, he says, your physical connection to Abraham means absolutely nothing as far as you're having a right relationship with God. But that's what they believed. The second thing they boasted in was their circumcision, the circumcision of the males in Israel. And that the male was the representative of the females. The females were not circumcised, obviously, but the males were. And if you were connected to that physical circumcision as represented by the head male of the family and all the other males, then you had a right relationship with God. And so they would put the Gentiles down in that sense, saying, well, there's no way they could have a right relationship with God. They're uncircumcised. So it became common to refer to themselves as the circumcision. And they would say they're the uncircumcision. And that's what Paul is referring to here. Look at it again, verse 11 of Ephesians 2. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now, the third thing the Jews would boast in is they boasted in their keeping the law of Moses. Well, they didn't keep the law of Moses, but they tweaked it down. Now, it'd be like people today, you know, if you've got a standard and you can't keep it, you lower the standard. Well, Christ told them that their physical connection with Abraham meant nothing as far as salvation and a right relationship with God. Their physical circumcision meant nothing in that way. And their keeping the law of Moses meant nothing because they didn't keep it. In fact, in John chapter 5, he said, in Moses whom you trust, meaning they trusted their works under the law, he said, Moses will be your judge and you'll be condemned. They who are of the works of the law are under a curse. No man is justified by works of the law, Jew or Gentile. So all their boasts were just sham religion. And that's why they hated the gospel so much. And that's why they hated the disciples, because the message of the gospel exposed their boast, their confidence, their grounds of confidence to be sham religion, nothing but evil deeds. And that's why they hated it so much. But Paul's telling the Gentile believers, now look back on the time you were Gentiles in the flesh. You were called the uncircumcision by the circumcision. In verse 12, he says that at that time, this is Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers or foreigners from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now, what Paul is actually referring to there is the Old Testament time, especially the period that the Jews were under the old covenant law of Moses, the covenant that God made with Israel through Moses on Mount Sinai. We talk about the Ten Commandments. That was the center of that covenant. The ceremonial law, the laws of the priesthood, the sacrifices, the civil laws, the dietary laws, all those laws that formed that one covenant with Israel. And back during that time, there were very, very few Gentiles who were saved. And those who were saved it was by the means of coming into contact or into the nation of Israel and seeing the reality of what that picture, what those old covenant laws and sacrifices and all those pictured, which was Christ. Now, let me make this clear. I don't have a whole lot of time to go back into the Old Testament on this. I've preached on it before. But I want to make it clear. Nobody in the Old Testament, Jew or Gentile, was saved by their works of the law. Nobody. It was always salvation by grace through faith, and that not in themselves. It was the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can go all the way back to the beginning, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham was an example of one whom God justifies the ungodly based upon the righteousness of Christ imputed, which Abraham and Noah, and all Old Testament believers look forward to. The Old Covenant law was given to Israel to show them their sin and their depravity and the impossibility of salvation, of being made righteous, justified by their works. And it was given to drive them to Christ for salvation. And Christ was in the pictures and the types and the prophecies of the Old Covenant. The pictures and the types, the lambs that were slain. The blood of bulls and goats never took away sin, but they all pictured Christ who was to come, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. Not everybody without exception now, but God's elect, Jew and Gentile all over the world. And so what he's telling that these Gentiles is that back then, because you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and foreigners from the covenants of promise, which would be the covenants that God made to Abraham, the covenant of grace that was typified in the sacrifices and the priesthood, the promise of salvation, having no hope. You see, there's no hope of anyone being saved without hearing and believing the gospel. Those who never hear and believe the gospel die in their sins and they perish. And he says, and without God in the world. Now, God's everywhere, but when he talks about without God in the world, in other words, they were not worshipers of God. They were idolaters. But now look at verse 13. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh. You're brought near. How? By the blood of Christ. Now, under the gospel, under the New Testament, you've heard the gospel and you've been brought by God to be near to God and near to His people. On what basis? Because of your free will? No. Because of your decision? No. By the blood of Christ. That's the key. We go back to verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto, not because of good works. You see it? Salvation, a right relationship with God, being near to God, being accepted with God, is all based upon one single solitary ground, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, His blood means His death. He died on the cross to save His people from their sins. He said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, Isaiah 53. That is why he had to die. It pleased the Lord to bruise him or crush him. He did it as the surety of his people. That means all of the debt of their sins were put to his account. He became responsible to pay the debt of his people. That was a transaction that was made before the world began in the everlasting covenant of grace. Christ is called the surety of the covenant. And in order for him to pay that debt to God's justice for his people, he had to be their substitute. He had to come into this world and take into union with himself as the divine Son of God. Second person of the Trinity, he had to take into union with himself a sinless, perfect, uncontaminated human nature, human body, created for him, not by the aid of man, not the natural way of the flesh, but created for him by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And he united himself to that human nature. He became God manifest in the flesh. God with us. The Word, Christ, the eternal Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. But He was without sin now. He was without sin. You need to understand that. He was never contaminated with sin. He was never corrupted by our sin. He was never, ever plunged into sin in the sense that he had any sinful thoughts. He was the perfect God-man. But he had the sins of his people legally imputed, charged, accounted to him. That's what the scripture tells us. And as our substitute, he went to the cross and died on that cross, satisfied the justice of God, and redeemed his people from their sins. We're not redeemed by our works. We're not redeemed by the things of this world. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, the incorruptible, spotless blood of Christ. Now that blood, that death, equals what the Bible calls the righteousness of God. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. For he was made sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him, made Christ, to be sin for us. Christ who knew no sin. How was he made to be sin? The sins of God's elect were imputed, charged, accounted to him. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. His righteousness imputed to us. We're justified. We're brought near to God by the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. And he gives us life from the dead and brings us to faith in Christ. And he says, look at verse 14 of Ephesians 2. He says, for he, that is Christ, is our peace. The peace of God is established by the cross. The peace of God between God and his people is established by the blood. Christ is our peace. We don't make our peace. Christ made it. We receive him who is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And it says, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, what's Paul saying here? Well, remember he started out, he said, you who were Gentiles by in the flesh, you weren't in the commonwealth of Israel. You didn't have the advantages that the Jews had under the old covenant. Even though they perverted them and denied them and failed to keep the law, but you weren't in that commonwealth, in that nation. And so you had no hope. You didn't hear the gospel. You had no hope of salvation. But now, you've been brought in to a right relationship with God, just the same as the Jews. Now, he has made peace between Jew and Gentile. Not only is there peace between God and his people, Jew and Gentile, now he has brought together Jew and Gentile in a spiritual way. And so they're at peace, and he's broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, what is that talking about? Well, that's an allusion to the third temple there that was present at that day. This was the temple that was present when the Lord walked the earth. You know, there were three temples, we could say. The temple of Solomon, which was destroyed by the Babylonians. And then the second temple, which was being, when they came out of captivity after 70 years, being built by Nehemiah and Zechariah and the prophets. And it was nothing compared to the Temple of Solomon, the grandeur of it. Well, that was there. And then later on, in the New Testament times, King Herod began to appease the Jews. He wasn't a Jew. He was an Idumean. But to appease the Jews, he started building up around it. And that's what we call the Third Temple. And it was a very, very grand structure. And in that third temple, there was a wall that separated the Jews, the natural physical Jews who could go in closer, and the Gentiles who had converted to Judaism. And that was the middle wall partition. There was a division between Jew and Gentile. But what Paul is saying is this. Having been brought nigh to God by the blood of Christ, there is no middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile. He's made both, Jew and Gentile, one in Christ. Now that's important. Look at verse 15. He says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. That word enmity can be translated actually hatred. But he's talking about the division. having abolished Christ by his flesh, by his death on the cross, his blood, that brought nigh every one of God's people, every one of God's elect, both Jew and Gentile, made them one. He abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of himself of twain or of two, one new man, so making peace. Now, in the Old Covenant, in its ordinances, in its commandments, the Jewish nation was to be separate from the Gentiles. They were not to intermingle and intermarry. They did. They disobeyed. But they were to remain separate. And now, that's not that any Gentile couldn't participate. If a Gentile participated, if he was a male, he had to be circumcised and he had to take the same way that the Jews did. He had to be converted. He had to be a proselyte to the Jewish religion. And you remember when Christ told the Pharisees, you encompass sea and land to make one convert. When you make him twofold more the child of hell than you are. In other words, they were trying to convert people to the Jewish law rather than preaching the gospel. And their law was salvation by works. And so these Gentiles had to be circumcised, and they could come in with us, but they can only go so far. That middle wall partition is as far as they can go. But the point is, in the gospel, saved by the grace of God, there is no division in God's kingdom between Jew and Gentile. Christ has made of two one new man. That one new man is the church, made up of sinners saved by grace, justified by the blood of Christ, both Jew and Gentile. There's no division. He made peace. If you look over in Galatians chapter 3, listen to this. This is in verse 26 of Galatians chapter 3. He says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." The evidence of being a child of God is believing in Jesus Christ as he's identified and distinguished in the Word, in the glory of his person, God manifest in the flesh, in the power of his finished work, his blood, his righteousness that brought about all that God required for his people. And so he says, you're all children of God. Verse 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ." Now, baptism there is not talking about the ordinance of water baptism. The ordinance of water baptism is important. It's a confession. But that's not what he's talking about. That wouldn't even fit the context. All of you who have been placed into Christ, you've been united to Christ, have put on Christ. You put him on when you believe on him by God-given faith. And he says in verse 28, now listen to this, "There is neither Jew nor Greek." Now, Greek was a common way of referring to all Gentiles because it was a Greek world, Greco-Roman. So there's neither Jew nor Greek in Christ now. That distinction means nothing. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Now, Paul's not saying that we should always ignore the distinction between a male and a female like they're trying to do today. What he's saying is, as far as salvation is concerned, as far as a right relationship with God is concerned, as far as being righteous before God is concerned, as far as being brought near to God is concerned, whether you're a male or a female, bond or free, Jew or Gentile, means nothing in that sense. Don't ever deny the distinction between man and woman. That's ungodly for people to do that. It's unnatural. But as far as salvation goes, it doesn't matter whether you're male or female, bond or free, Jew or Gentile. He says, "For you are all one in Christ Jesus." And he goes further, verse 29, "And if you be Christ," that's a possessive, "if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now, he's talking about Abraham's spiritual seed. Now, in this world, As we walk through this world and in the flesh, there are distinctions among people that you could say that separate us, many that shouldn't. You know, people talk about the different races. You know, the Bible only talks about one race, the human race. And when we talk about distinctions that are necessary and that are natural, that are good, but there's nothing that would promote prejudice and hatred and treating one class of people a different way or in a bad way than you do another class. But there are distinctions. But this is the point. When it comes to salvation, it's all by the grace of God. It's His mercy. It's His unconditional, unearned, undeserved love. And it's all based upon the merit of one person who did one great work. Hebrews 10:14 speaks of it. For by one offering, Christ hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Those whom God set apart before the foundation of the world in divine election. Those whom God set apart in Christ at the cross, sanctified by His blood. And those whom God set apart in the new birth, sending the Spirit to give them life and faith in Christ. And when God gives you life and gives you faith in Christ, you put Him on. You believe in Him. You rest in Him. You plead His blood as your only hope. You plead His righteousness as your only ground of justification. And that puts you in a company of one new man. All who believe in Him, all who've been saved by His grace, the true church of Christ. And that's the peace that He's talking about. That's the middle wall partition that's been broken down. We've been made nigh by the blood, made near. There's not a place up here closer to God for the Jew and a place way back there for the Gentile. There's not one place for the Apostle Paul and another place for the thief on the cross. We're all equally saved, equally justified, equally born again, and equally sure for heaven by the blood. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries, or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969, or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.